I was going to say to you actually that I will send you a computer link, and you know, there's a big archive of photographs of Jamaica, of all the Gibraltarians in Jamaica, in the West Indies Library, and they've put them all on the online, you know. So loads, really amazing photographs, and I had a look at them before a few months ago. Anyone can look at them.
But they show the women with the children.
Yes, all sorts of, and lots of ones of. So what I was going to ask you about this Gibraltarian sort of, the Gibraltarians sort of brought their own way of life with them. You know, it looked like they had, there was lots of people cooking and making things and great big dinners and parties, all sorts of things. Can you remember that?
No. I remember that we were going, every time that we had to have some food, we used to go to this big restaurant that was for everybody. That I can remember. You could do something at home, but as far as I can remember, we didn't have kitchens or anything inside our own place.
And did you mix with the Jamaicans?
No. I mixed well with this man from Cuba. He was very nice, and others that were employed around there. Yes, but that was particularly, that camp was particularly surrounded, and we had police officers to look after us, and nobody was allowed in or out. Even us, if we were to leave the camp, we had to report on the way out and on the way in.
So was the school and the church and everything was in the camp then?
Sorry?
Did you have to leave the camp to go to school or
No, everything was
everything?
within the camp. We left the camp if we wanted to go. I went with my mother to the capital, Kingston, once or twice. It was about, I don't know, it was quite far. We had to get a bus. We used to go on Saturday sometime to a small place, village, like for example, Catalan Bay. I don't know if you've been to Catalan Bay. A small village, and they used to sell a lot of fruits and things like that. And it was only about 20 minutes in a bus or something. We used to get a bus very near, just outside the camp. It was a bus, but the whole camp, you couldn't leave it.
That's very interesting because, I mean, going on a bus to Kingston must have been a bit of a culture shock. You know, all the Jamaicans and the noise and the, you know,
Yes, yes.
it's such a lively culture, isn't it?
I know. Mind you, I found them all to be very nice people. I said it's not very safe now to go to Jamaica. There's a lot of robbery, this and the other. That's what people say sometimes, and that you've got to go to certain places within Jamaica. But when we were there, I mean, nobody said anything to us. Nobody tried to steal anything from us. Mind you, we were always well guarded with this man, because he was a huge man. And but when I went with my mother, nobody interfered. But this was, remember, it was at the time was a British colony, which is not now. And apparently they tell us now, because I haven't been to Jamaica. I've been saying I'll probably go again and have a look at this and the other. A lot of Gibraltarians have been there. I haven't been again. But they say that things are not the same. That people do. There's a lot of thieves. There is a lot of. I don't know. It may be true. It may not be true. But my recollection and my what I know of Jamaica was a beautiful place. I remember going to a place called Hope Garden. Beautiful. Hope Garden. And we went there, and everything. So many flowers. So many. Oh, I always have
Fish.
in the other house, which I had a bigger house before. I used to have a pond with fish, and I used to have three times that bigger than here. But here, that's the small way. That's because and in Jamaica, I did a little pond, and I went to Hope Garden and I got a few of those fishes and I put them in, and oh, they were lovely. I did a little pond of cement on the ground, and I've always. Had fish because I like animals, but it was beautiful. One of the nicest places I've ever seen is the Hope Garden. I don't know whether you've heard of that before. It's
No,
called Hope
no.
Garden. Beautiful, beautiful flowers everywhere. Because what happened in Jamaica, is that the flowers, the weather is right for the flowers. They got a lot of rain and they got a lot of sun. So you plant something there, and I tell you that within 2 or 3 days, it's that big.
How amazing.
Yeah, mm. Anything. I used to grow tomatoes, and outside each hut, it was just the field there, and I used to grow things in there, and I put just a bit of tomato, this and the other, and within a couple of days, they were like that, and within the same year, they were that big, and a lot of tomatoes coming out of it. My mother used to like it a lot. Oh, get tomato from us, they're very nice. Anything used to grow in there because it was the right temperature. It just rain, and you got the sun as well. The sun was always there. Very hard, but you get used to it. You get used to it as well.
And did you, how many years were you there?
Four. Just about 4 years.
And do you remember how you heard news about what was happening? And I mean, obviously people wrote letters from Gibraltar. How did you get news of Gibraltar?
No, the only thing is the news with Gibraltar is my father used to write to my mother, and my mother used to write to my father. But no, we used to know very little about the outside world.
Do you think your mother was worried about it? Did she get used to it?
I would think so. I think that everybody were a bit worried. We didn't know what was happening.
So you didn't really know what was happening in the war either?
No.
No.
No. They did.
Mm, yeah,
my wife
in London,
did.
Yeah.
But not us. We used to hear about it, how bad it were in London. Some people were saying there, oh, it's a good thing we were brought to Jamaica and not in London. But anyway, no, we were completely away. There was nothing. And the teachers didn't tell us anything. They were all very nice. I used to be with the scouts as well, going up and down everywhere. But
so how did you hear that you were going to come home? How what happened when you were going to come home?
Well, the same thing. I mean, we heard rumours, but it never happened. And again, no, we're going to go back. It never happened until one day we were just told. My mother said, "Oh, we've got to be ready because this and the other." By next week, something like that, she said, next week we have to go. How do we go? I don't know. A ship. And we, the ship. Anyway, even that, then when we got into this ship, this was a better ship now. And we were coming along, unescorted, as far as I remember. We had to pull into, I can't remember, one of the islands. And we had to stay there about 3 days. I forget now the others. But anyway, and the words got round that it was because it was a submarine waiting for us, because this was about the end of the war, but still, the war was still on. So we remained there for 3 days. We were not allowed to embark or disembark or nothing on the ship all the time. And then...
That must have been very hot. It must have just, sitting in the port, baking.
And then back to Gibraltar.
And what about going home? I mean, it must have been amazing to arrive back, was it? Can you remember, were people waiting on the dockside?
Yeah. My father was there. Well, everybody... I mean, we were quite a lot of... I don't know how many people... Someone must have the amount, the numbers that we were there, but we were quite a lot. Quite a lot of people. I mean, the ship was full with children and women.
And because you were there for 4 years, there must have been both births and deaths in the community.
Yeah, quite a few there that died.
And what happened? Where were they buried?
They're buried, and as far as I've been told, they're buried all at the same cemetery or something like that. And sometimes when people do go to Jamaica, they do go and see it. And our camp now, I've been told, that is a university now.
I wonder if you're
probably
fish
they call it the University of Gibraltar or something. That I don't know. But I've been told that others that have been there, that it's now being converted into a university. Yes, quite a few died because some of them were a bit old and they died. They died there.
So it was mostly, almost mostly women and children, not that many men?
No, no. Men, it was only those. For example, my father was not allowed.
What was your father's work? What was he doing over here?
At that particular time, although my father was a shipwright, and well, he could do any sort of job. But at that particular time, he was working in the dockyard. You know, the mole there has got two entrances for ships to go in. And he was, apart from other things that he did, working for the dockyard, he used to put the, what do you call that, Cecilia? A net, a boom or something.
Mm.
Used to put every day to close it so that the submarine would not get in.
Ah, right.
And when a British ship was coming in, then he was also there to remove the boom for the ship to go in. And then that, plus other jobs that he was doing, was considered that he couldn't leave. Well, he was not all that old either. And so he remained. He remained in Gibraltar all the time. But that was one of the particular jobs that he had, closing and opening the boom so that the destroyers, British destroyer, in and out, and then put it back again.
But also, I suppose he could stay. You, when you came back, your house, you still had your house and everything, because a lot of people lost their houses, didn't they?
Yeah. So us as well. Us as well, because our house was smaller, and when we came back, we were placed in what is now a school, Luder School, and we were there for about, I don't know, a year or so. I can't remember when we were there, until the new house was given to us, and we were given one in Road to the Line, and we lived there. I lived there until I got married with
her.
And
did you just go back to school again when you came home?
Yeah. I remember that also. When I came back, because there were practically everybody already, all those from England had been back already, they were in school, you know. I went to school. And I went to secondhand school. I was told that I had to go to secondhand school. And I remember that I went there, and the teacher there was a very nice teacher. He talked to me this and the other a little while. I could see that he was more or less interviewing me. I said, all right, yeah, you stay here. And tomorrow, there is an exam for the grammar school, and I want you to be there. Tomorrow? Yeah, where is the grammar school? He told me where it was. So I went with others. And apparently, I must have gone through, because then I started in the grammar school in Gibraltar. I started there in the grammar school, it is in Europa, Plata Villa it was called, Plata Villa. And I remained there for a number of years.
And then you met, and then after school?
No, what happened was, as I was there, there was exams in the dockyard for apprenticeship for different trades. I always wanted to trade, I don't know why. I wanted to trade. So I went to this exam. And I came second. I remember I came second. Now, those that passed the exam, and we were about 30 or 40 that passed the exam, you could choose a trade, but you choose the trade. Number one could choose trade first. Number two, and in those days, the best trades was electrical fitter with the dockyard. So there were only three, a vacancy for that. So I got in, and two of other got in, the three of us. So I did an apprenticeship of 5 years with the dockyard, and then I became an electrical fitter. Then people were saying, well, there is no match here being an electrical fitter. Others were fitters, cheap fitters, all these sort of things. So there were people joining the revenue, and there were people joining the police. And a friend of mine, who was also in the dockyard working, he says, I'm going to join. So he joined. And 2 weeks later, they said, well, why don't you join this and the other? So anyway, I said, well, let's see. So who do I talk to? He says, no, I've already talked with the deputy commissioner, this and the other, and he says, because you're an electrical fitter, it means that you must have got a high mark in the otherwise you would not have been an electrical fitter. You just go into the school. And that's it. He goes, yes, but you've already been there for a month and a half. Said, yeah. So I joined them. I went to see the deputy commissioner. He said, no, you want to start tomorrow? I'm quite sure you can catch up with them. And I did catch up with them, and I did very, very well with the exams, this and the other. So much so that he says, no, for the first time, the first recruits ever, because the police are recruited here, and we got a school here. He says, you and two others are going to go to England and do exactly the same as they do. So we went to England, and we do with the English boys, we did 3 months to do that. And then I remained as a police officer. I came back, and then I was promoted to sergeant, then station sergeant, because now the ranks are less. I had to be promoted to sergeant, station sergeant, then inspector, then chief inspector, and whilst I was, I used to go to England for courses, and I finished up as chief superintendent of the police. And I did 31 years with them. And then I retired. Because I had to retire at 55. Up to chief. Then they changed the law. Otherwise, I could have carried on one more step and been the commissioner.
Right.
But I reached to... Anyway, so I got up. And then I still thought that I could do something. I was still young, 55, so I joined an insurance company, and I was the manager for everything to do with traffic and all this sort of thing. And I worked with them for 15 years. And then I decided that I've done too many years.
That's work. Enough. Mm.
And now I don't do anything.
I bet that's not true.